It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for taking the opportunity to be with us here today. This gospel program is presented to you by the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Hopefully the broadcast will be some real help to you today. The Lord is vitally interested in you, friends. He's interested in your spiritual well-being. He greatly desires to see all souls saved from sin and being able to live a victorious, sinless life. Brother Dieschmann is here with us again today to present another inspiring message found in the Word of God.
Let's look at James, the fourth chapter. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 13. Go now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. My message deals with the subject, what is your life? I want you to think about that. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of the farmer. I'm sure you heard about him. He was walking down the road, and a neighbor said, where are you headed? He said, well, I'm going down here, and I'm going to buy me a cow. Such and such man down the road, farmer man's got a cow, and I'm going to go buy it. Neighbor man said, well, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, you'll go down there and buy that cow. And he said, Lord's will don't have anything to do with it. I got the money in my pocket, and he's got the cow, and we've made an agreement, and I'm going to go get it. Well, he got down the road just a little ways, and somebody threw on the brakes and stopped and got out and beat him up and took all of his money. Well, here he come back without the cow. And the farmer said to him, I thought you were going to go get that cow. He said, well, I was going to, but got right down here and somebody jumped out and got all my money. He said, where are you going now? He said, Lord's willing, I'm going home. So he learned a lesson, didn't he? What is your life? I want you to think about that. Both saved and lost. What is your life? What is the meaning of your life? What is it all about? I read today where, you may have read it, said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I may feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayer were answered. I among all men most richly blessed. What is your life? There's many answers to that question. What is your life? Shakespeare said, life is drama. That the whole world is a stage, and we're the actors that appear upon it. Sir Walters said, life is a journey. The orator Burke said, it's a shadow. Job said in the 9th chapter of the book of Job that life was like a runner, a carrier, a message, so swiftly does it speed by. Job also said, life is like a ship. And he says, life is like an eagle descending so swiftly to its prey. The 40th chapter of Isaiah said, "Lieth is like a flower that fadeth, and as the grass that withereth." James said, "What is your life?" Maybe you're here tonight, your life is filled with froth of activity. And yet deep down, you know that's not what life is supposed to be about. What is your life? Some believe it's power. They want to get all the power they can. Some believe life is money. What is your life? Maybe your life is empty. There's no meaning in it because God is not in it. What is your life? Some are living for a relationship. Life to some people is pleasure. Remembering that the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:6, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth." What is your life? With some, it's all business. And friend, it's possible to get so caught up in the daily grind of living and making a living that you fail to include God as a part of your life. There's time for work. There's time for parties. There's time for romance. There's time for academic preparations. Time for political involvement. Time for all things that this world considers. But are we living for God? Are we leaving time for God? How many times has any one of us been overheard saying of ourselves and given ourselves credit for our lives? "Look at what I have done. Look at how far I have come. Look at what I have made of myself." And never a word is spoken about the role that God has played in our lives. Never even the slightest suggestion that anybody beyond ourselves had a hand in our success. Friend, no matter what we are, no matter what we've been able to achieve in life, without God, we can't achieve anything. We can't do anything. We can't be anything without God. I know of people, their life is drugs. I know of other people, their life is strong drink. With some people, their whole life is sports. What is your life? James not only asks the question, he gives the answer. What is your life? "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." A vapor, like a boiling kettle, and the steam comes out, the mist, it appears for a little time and then it's gone. It vanishes. But note that when a cloud of steam ceases to appear, it has not ceased to exist. There's something seen about our life. It appears, but then the Bible says it vanishes away. But like the steam, it has not ceased to exist. It has simply changed form. The steam is absorbed into the atmosphere. And the Bible tells us that our life goes on in another realm, an unseen realm. Now, while it might seem to us here that the physical domain, that we're here today and gone tomorrow, but friend, that's not the end. When we leave this life, when we have our appointment with death, when they bury us, that is not the end. When the vapor is gone, the substance of water still exists. You cannot see God. You cannot see your soul. But that doesn't mean it's not real. What is your life tonight? Life is fleeting and it's uncertain. The book of James reminds us that we should not take tomorrow for granted. We should not put off until tomorrow or some later times those matters of the spirit that each one of us needs to resolve. The question is, do you know for sure that your house is set in order? Is your heart right with God? Are you living in such a way today, my friend, that it's apparent that you understand that you can be here today and gone tomorrow? The question is, do you understand that with all of your wealth and all your learning and social status and long-range plans, you and I are nothing more than a mist that vanisheth away? James reminds us that life is nothing more than a mist that can be snatched away or snuffed out in a twinkling of an eye. What is my life? What is your life? It's a mist that rises up and vanishes away. It is a frail and vulnerable, amen, and no matter how strong you are, how tall you are, how healthy you are, you can be brought down in a second of time. Amen. It is not me that keeps my life going. It is God within me. And so it is with you, friend. You're not keeping your life going. It's God. Your life is in His hand. Your breath is in His hand. A cobweb is 10 times as strong, and a cobweb is not a tithe as frail as man's life. Do you realize there's 1,000 laws in the mechanism of man's life, and any one of which that is violated and man evaporates? Our life is made unto God with 1,000 different strings, and any one of them that is snapped, our life perishes. It's destroyed like the pillars of the ancient temple at Ephesus, scattered like the golden palace of Nero, gone like the hanging gardens of Babylon, lost in the community of the unending graves of these that have died before us. However you may garnish the tombs, it makes no difference, friend. Earth is the common grave. Everywhere in every village, in every town, in every country, in every nation, in every place, the unendingness of the grave and death is always before us. What is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth how long? For a little time, then vanisheth away. Just for a moment, friend, it's ours, and then it dissolves, it evaporates, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The flower fades, and the grass withereth. So our life dissolves in the presence of God and man. Augustine said of this earthly pilgrimage, he did not know whether this life was a dying life or a living death. There's 1,000 gates to the abyss and darkness to the river of death. Sometimes it comes suddenly, like the grass that's mowed. Sometimes like a leaf that is torn from the tree. Sometimes in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, strength is turned into weakness and our comeliness into corruption. However a man may be endeared, affection will not heal him. No matter how you might devote your life to God and His service in the kingdom of Christ, his devotion will not protect him when it comes time to die. And however a man may be able, with all of his genius and ministries of science and life, prolong his days, that inevitable hour always and certainly comes to every individual. Did you realize that there are only two people in all the Bible that escaped physical death? And that was Elijah and Enoch. And doubtless, you're not going to be the third one. We have an appointment with death. Unless we're still alive when the Lord returns, we have appointment. Our life vanishes away. To the man outside of Christ, to the man whose hope is in this world, I want to tell you something, friend. Death is an awful despair and an incalculable tragedy. If you ever die without Jesus Christ, your death will be, I promise you, an awful despair and incalculable tragedy. A man may abort the cross, but he cannot abort the grave. A man may refuse Christ, but he cannot refuse death. When a man says no to God, when a man says no to Christ, and when a man builds his life in this world and in this time, death to him is a very frightful thing. Death frowns upon the sinner because the sinner frowns upon death. Death is the specter at the foot of his bed, and it's always there. To the sinner, death is the canker in every joy, in every vision, in every dream. It's always there. To a man outside of God and to a man outside of Christ, death, my friend, is an awful, awful, awful thing. Because our life vanishes does not mean our life is over. When Sir William Russell was being escorted to his execution, he took his watch out of his pocket and gave it to the clergyman and said, "Sir, the timepiece is yours. I'm not dealing with time anymore. I'm now dealing with eternity." And so that time comes in every man's life, in every woman, in every boy, in every girl. Right now, we're all dealing with time. We have been dealing with time from the day of our birth. But there's going to be a day, friend, when time will be over for us and we're going to be dealing with eternity. Amen. These things makes us pause in the rush of the vigor and the race of every day's grasping, every day's planning, and every day's living. And they bring us face to face with God. And they teach us of the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of this world. The book that I hold in my hand, it's not a book of death. It's not a book of disillusion. It's not a book of gloom. This is not a book of despair. This book that I hold in my hand is a book of eternal life. It preaches life. It describes life. It offers life. It promises life to all who will meet the condition. Thank God this book, the Bible, with its promises, and all those promises are true. Yes, my friend, this book, the Bible, it ends with the glorious resurrection and the triumph over sin, death, and the grave. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly." He's the one that also went on in John the 14th chapter and verse number 6 when he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He's the one on in the 11th chapter of John and he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life, and he that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Thank God, it's a book of life. not of death. It's a book of triumph, not of despair. It's a book of resurrection and not the grave, because the scripture said, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? Someone observed that life is like a dollar bill. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. Now, when you spend money, there are only one or two ways that you can spend it. You can waste it, or you can invest it. And the same is true with your life. You can waste your life, or you can invest your life. Whether you, my friend, are young, or whether you're old, whether you're six, or whether you're 60, whether you're healthy or wealthy, whether you're puny or poor, you can make the rest of your life the best of your life. Did you hear me? No matter where you are in life, you can make the rest of your life the best of your life. I tell people we ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossiper. And then here comes the question, when will it be too late for me to get saved? When is it too late? Too late is any time other than now. That's when too late is, because you have no promise of tomorrow. And since you have no promise of tomorrow, too late is any time than right now. You see, if you're putting off this matter of salvation until tomorrow, you need to know that tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow is the most uncertain, unpredictable friend that you have. It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. How do you provide for the unseen? How do you prepare for eternity? The good news is Jesus on the cross done all the preparation for you. Think about that. Jesus tasted death for everyone. Jesus made a way 2,000 years ago so that every soul could be saved by the grace of God. All that is left for you is to repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. Repentance is more than a change of mind, more than a change of heart. It's a change of action. Godly sorrow working repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Be willing to turn from all sin. Turn to your Savior. Embrace Him by faith, and you can have real salvation. What is your life? Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, that's who our life is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Friend, the message in this text is one that, if heeded, can alter how we live our lives today and every day for the rest of our lives. It probably goes without saying, but it's not your alarm clock that wakes you up each morning. Your alarm clock can ring all day and all night, but if God does not reach down and wake you with the finger of His love, your clock will do you no good. It's God that wakes us up every morning. It's not the alarm clock. It's God and His mercy and His grace that even has spared your life until this very moment. I often think back before I got saved how on different occasions I could have very easily been called out into eternity. I had some close calls while I was out in sin. running those roads, living for the devil. I had some close calls. I could have went out into eternity, but God's love, His grace, and His mercy. God's been good to you. The very fact that you're here, you're still alive. You're still in your right mind. You still have the power of choice. God's been good to you. But today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Time will run out someday. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
That was certainly a sobering message. It reminds us our mortal bodies wasn't made to live here forever. Our soul, that inner man that lives on the inside, is going to live on throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Friend, if your intention is to make heaven your home, you must prepare for it now, while you're living here in this life. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Christ encourages you not to neglect this most important issue of life. Do it now. Do it today. While you have time and opportunity, while you are able to make a rational decision. Ezekiel tells us that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, nor does He want anyone to let sin be their ruin. Dear one, if you desire to find salvation but need help, we invite you to call Brother Roger Decker at 740-345-1213. He is always ready to help pray with or counsel those that need help. That number to call again is 740-345-1213. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call. Now, in behalf of our pastor, Roger Decker, we want to extend a warm welcome to you to our services at the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street. Our service times today is at 9:30 for Sunday school. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45. Our evening worship service then begins at 6 o'clock. If you would need transportation to the services, please feel free to give us a call at that number, 740-345-1213. Someone will certainly be happy to stop by and pick you up. That number to call again is 740-345-1213. This is Fred Barrows inviting you to join us here again next week at the same time to the Church of God radio broadcast. Until then, dear ones, may God bless and be with each one of you, is our prayer.